Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I played pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Yes, that, then we talking.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Scrape cleanup on aisle 3. Come get it.
Sounds like you're just an athlete.
Yeah.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ping pong, baseball, football, basketball.
Tennis, swimming, lacrosse, whatever you need me to play, I'm going to go do it.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hockey.
Whatever, on the rink, whatever you need me to do, it don't matter.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your Thursday is going all right. Nice and easy. We got a breakfast. I'm craving a burrito. I got to be honest with you. I didn't eat anything this morning. I need one bad. Just hitting today, you know? It's one of those days.
We'll see if somebody might be able to find us one here.
It'd be nice. Had a couple employees in here yesterday before 8 a.m., and I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we're here all the time early. I'm like, bull
crap. No, we see when everybody comes in.
9:15.
Yeah.
9:30.
Usually the first ones roll in around 8:45.
8:45-ish, yeah. So I have to figure that one out. A lot to get to in the third hour. I got some NFL OTA audio, and we got Brady Henderson at 9:30 today. So we'll talk a little NFL. We have college football on the show. Talk some National Football League. Got the Magic Hat coming up an hour from right now. See if Swag's added anything to the old Magic Hat.
I might
Hat.
Have something
okay.
that is the obscure sports that I tend to follow.
Oh, you got some weird sports thing?
It's not weird.
Oh,
it
okay.
Could one of them come to a grinding halt?
Oh, okay. Not the World Cup USA roster reveal?
No, not that.
Okay, all right. I saw that, and I was like, I don't know these names. I'm going to need Jason Swigard's thoughts.
I don't know too many. I know a few of them. As is the issue, our best players play over in Europe. And
yeah,
so other than Pulisic, who everybody has known for quite some time, some of the other top names have been playing in the Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga, but people don't know.
So yesterday we had Ben Golliver on.
We did.
Newly ESPN.
Could not be happier
Crown
for
employee.
Somebody in the media than him.
Genuinely as nice a dude as he sounds on the radio.
And genuinely works his tail off.
He does. He does a good job. He loves ball. Ball's been his whole life. And he gave us a nice update that the Blazers will not indeed be a Kalamazoo kazoo.
Yeah.
So that was good news to find out.
That was fun.
It's weird how the universe sometimes lines everything up, isn't it? Anyways, we had Ben Golliver on, and we dove into like the Tommy Two Nickels and the cheap Dundon stuff, and he kind of took the same approach as us. It's like, some of that stuff's not great to hear, but also, what do I gauge him on?
Yeah.
But he dove into the offseason. I thought this was more interesting than the Tommy Dundon stuff, okay? because I'm kind of exhausted of it. We need to allow more time to happen. We're judging a guy like 4 months onto the job when the last owner owned it for 20 plus years and had some really good stuff and also had some really awful stuff.
Yes.
But like, oh, how dare Tom Dundon have a questionable 4 months on the job? It's the free agency stuff, the trade stuff, the offseason stuff. I am the most interested in all of that. Okay, we have coach audio from Golliver we can play, but I straight up asked him, you know, Dundon is the new owner. It seems like he wants to be aggressive. He's kind of indicated as much.
Yeah.
We know the new owner splash is a thing. And Ben Golliver said, if I'm a Blazer fan, I don't know about this approach.
At the same time, when you start to see some of these comments and some of these judgments that he's making, doesn't it make you nervous, the idea of a splash trade, right? We saw that down in Phoenix with Matt Ishbia, first day on the job, boom, give me Kevin Durant. Well, they're still digging out of that one. It's been like 3 years. They're trying to figure out how to retool things. And obviously that didn't really lead anywhere in the playoffs. It did not pan out like they thought it would. So that new owner syndrome, the idea of like, hey, you know, I want to make my mark. I'm smarter than the previous people who own this group. This is a diamond in the rough organization that I'm going to turn around. A lot of very successful people, and Tom Dundon certainly is very successful from a financial standpoint. A lot of them, you know, they think that they've got it all figured out, when in actuality, it sounds like he's still learning the NBA game. So to me, if I was a Blazers fan, I would be nervous at the idea of him trying to make a big splash this summer. I'm not sure I would trust his judgment to make that splash.
I find it interesting. So this is why I like guys like Golliver. They make me think about how I feel about something. And this is something that I'm not one that thinks you should be slow building forever and then you just hope 1 year. Like, I want the team to be good. I want the team to establish some consistency of good culture and winning. I do think that's important. I also don't want to be overly cautious and never try to take the swing. Now, you can certainly suggest, you know, and his point is, how did that work out for Phoenix? That's a very valid thing to ask. I would say this. Well, they took a swing that a lot of teams, I think right now, that don't have a new owner would take. How many teams, and I'm being legitimate when I ask this, how many teams, if they knew it didn't take the world to get, would bring in a Kevin Durant?
Oh,
even at his age?
Yeah.
They would probably say, yeah, locker room liability, maybe.
I mean, the biggest question there
burner accounts.
At this point, I think the lesson that people learned is, does Kevin Durant want to be there?
He's not a leader. Okay,
yeah.
Kevin Durant is a bucket getter.
But you have Damian Lillard, who is the clear voice and presence in the locker room.
Drew Holiday is there.
Exactly.
Right? Like, unless you move him. But my point is, like, it's not a new owner syndrome only to bring on Kevin Durant.
No,
Kevin Durant has moved around a little bit, has he not?
Yes.
Okay, so Golden State welcomed him in with open arms.
And that worked for a while.
That wasn't a new owner.
And it might work great in Portland because you know there's a lifespan on that.
No doubt. Brooklyn took a chance. They got close. They were a toe away, but they didn't quite work.
That chemistry didn't work at all.
Houston's not a new owner, are they?
Fertitta's been there for a while.
Exactly. So, like, my point isn't to say that Ben is necessarily wrong. It's just to simply point out we do have evidence of new owner syndrome. We had a new owner in Minnesota. A new guy running it. How has that gone? They took a huge swing on Rudy Gobert, and you can say they overpaid on Rudy Gobert. Eh, maybe. They've also been, they were in back-to-back conference finals.
Yep.
They came kind of close, and they weren't even healthy. So, for all the bad new owner things you can point to, and the Ishbia Sun one is the most recent because they fell on their face last year. But let's not overlook, they made the playoffs the year before. Now, it didn't go well for them, and then they fell on their face. It also didn't help that Bradley Beal just literally couldn't play basketball anymore.
Yes.
And so they had to financially, they're buying their way out of that. They took a swing that most of the league would take in getting Kevin Durant. They pivoted out. How'd they do this year? They made the playoffs.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have to be happy about an 8 seed, but like they went from not making it with Kevin Durant to pivoting out and making it without Kevin Durant. So I don't want to be sitting here paralyzed by the idea of fear that a new owner for me, and by the way, is there not a general manager here? So just like everything is going to, and I know Tom Dundon will ultimately be the guy who signs off,
right?
Yay or nay. But like the idea that Tom Dundon is also going to execute the trade, That's Joe Cronin's department. Okay, so yeah. If there is a move to be made, I don't know if Giannis is the right move. I don't. But I also don't want to be beholden or stung by the idea that you shouldn't even try if you think you can make the roster much better. I don't sit in the world of fear of, well, he's a new owner. We can't. So what are we going to do? Nothing?
This team can't do
nothing.
A fringe
move?
I think the thing is this one's all about context. Is he coming in and saying, we have to shake it up to let everybody know things are going to be different here?
I think he wants to win.
He wants to win. And if that's the motivation, and he's prepared to make a big splashy move if it presents itself, but as long as everybody is of the belief that it will make the team significantly better. The tricky part that he will need education on, that Joe and his guys need to tell him, is, again, we can make this big splashy move, but the way that the CBA and contracts and everything works in the NBA, if you swing big and miss, it could be. And I think that's one of the things Ben was pointing out.
The ramifications of it.
There are ramifications.
No
you
doubt.
Can't go and undo it within a season. You have to eat some stuff for maybe 2 or 3 years.
Well, yeah.
That's the tricky part.
True.
That I think Cronin and the front office staff really have to.
But
it's on them to explain to Tom. It's like, okay, we can do this.
But he's already talked about that in a certain extent. He goes, you know, and the league is, you make these moves and you try, and if it doesn't work, well, then you got to find and work your way out of it. So, like,
so as long as he understands the ramifications of if it doesn't work or goes south or we get another injury that derails everything.
I just also think there's a way, like, there's a middle ground here. You don't have to make the Giannis trade.
No.
I think you can make a move that makes you better. And I don't think that they're going to be able to gain ground from where they're at to beating the Spurs or Thunder in one offseason.
No.
I'm not. But I'm also, like, sitting largely pat and telling me, what did you do this season? And they didn't make a big trade. And the explanation from them is an easy one. I can already hear it in my head. Well, you know, Dame didn't play last year, so that in a way, that's like picking up a free agent. And, you know, we thought Rob will. He stayed relatively healthy, and he gave us great production, and we gave him the mid-level. Like, I can already hear how not making a real move is going to be sold to us in the media.
And on
the
top
fan base.
Of that, if they do make a change at the head coaching position.
And the head coaching job
like,
is
well,
new.
Well, he, you know, when we were talking, he had a different idea on how this roster could be utilized.
You see it and you hear it because we already went through that. We've gone through that, right?
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what the move is. I'm not the general manager, but this being paralyzed that he's new and he said a couple things with his foot in his mouth, to me, and I don't know if anybody else feels this way, I don't sit here and go, well, you're right. Let's not do anything. Let's just add Jeff Van Gundy and call it good, man. Like, no. Let's address our three-point shooting problem. It's terrible. It was the worst in the playoffs.
That should be something that you can be able to figure out. Now, it might not be, you know.
You know what's not a priority to me? Signing Matisse Thybulle on the vet min.
No.
A priority to me is get shooting. Matisse is a good defender. If you can't shoot, your defense means nothing to me.
Exactly.
And so, like, and I'm one that, like, thinks their defense is fine. I don't think it's as good as being sold. And I do think, I do think you need to take their schedule into account this past season for how they played defensively. You can tell me, well, they're all finally healthy. Yeah, their schedule also was dog crap. I mean, they played the literal bottom of the NBA at the end of the year. That also has to be part of the conversation, which leads me to this. Because that quote that we gave out with Golliver yesterday, it was interesting back and forth with people on social media. And you can chime in at 503-864-6326. Are you also hoping they don't make a big splash trade this offseason because of a new owner? Where are you at? Or do you want them to try? So, Swag, yesterday I'm reading ESPN. And it kind of is weird. I mentioned how the universe lines up. So we have Golliver, we have the quote, right? Zach Cram, who has now gone from The Ringer to ESPN, is also another writer. So they've hired a couple writers here. Zach Cram of ESPN wrote about how NBA championship finals rosters are built far more through through free agency and trades than they are the draft. In fact, he points to the Spurs as actually a huge outlier. So it's interesting to go through this because he gives us actually some number evidence here, okay? So I'm going to read a couple blurbs through this article, and I want to get your take on this. out of the 100 players who were top five picks from 2000 to 2019, 44 won a playoff series as a rotation player for their original team. That means 56 who never fulfilled the team's heavy draft investment with a single playoff advancement. Okay? So you go through this, and he starts to chart it out, and he starts to look at guys. The player in this group, so on average, the draft's top five will have three players who never win a playoff series for the team that drafted them, one player who wins one or two series, and one player who wins three or more. Okay? The players in this group with the most playoff series victories with the original team is the number five pick, Dwayne Wade, with 22 over 13 seasons in Miami before he left in free agency. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have 15 in Boston and could eventually catch D-Wade. And there are far more top picks with trajectories like Nikolai Skitsavili, Raymond Felton, and Sheldon Williams, who were all picked number five in the 2000s but never won a playoff series with the original team. The dream of a decade plus of production for a franchise cornerstone also doesn't materialize very often. On average, top five picks from 2000 to 2019 lasted 5.1 seasons with their original team, with 56% lasting until their fifth year and 44% leaving before then. Only 6% played at least 10 seasons with their initial team. Yep. Tatum will bump that figure to 7 next year. Yeah. And what did we talk about in Portland for years? Tank, tank, tank. Now, should we have tanked better for Wimby? Yes. That's not even an argument. But we largely lean into that. And I've always viewed trades in free agency as an interesting thing. We don't get big free agents, but trading is absolutely something in our wheelhouse.
Trading is how the Blazers have, for the most part, other than the big draft picks, Walton, Drexler, Dame. That's how they have been able to have the most meaningful roster additions in their history.
I mean, look at two lead guards. One didn't win last year, but might have had he not gotten hurt, and one won it all last year and might win it again this year. SGA, yeah. and Haliburton. How, yep, did they get on their teams?
Yeah.
Trades.
Jalen Brunson
this year. Trades, right? The Spurs really are. Actually, if you look at the history of draft, like in the modern, you know, kind of lottery, mm-hmm, type stuff, right? You kind of look at the Spurs
first
from
lottery,
their titles,
yeah,
all through up to now. They're kind of the weird outlier, largely.
Yeah, because they drafted David Robinson. They drafted Duncan. They drafted, well, and then they got Ginobili and Parker, and that was, you know, at the end of the first round,
so
or
here,
second round.
Here's another interesting one. Looking back with a wider lens, only three out of the 26 finals MVPs trophies this century have gone to players who landed on a team via its own top five pick. Three out of 26. It's kind of crazy. So 11 have been via free agency or sign and trade. LeBron, Shaq, KD, Iguodala, and Billups. Four via draft pick. Kobe twice, Jaylen Brown, and Kawhi. Two of the four are Kobe Bryant. Two via trade. SGA and Kawhi Leonard for the Raptors. Three via top five pick. Two are Duncan. One is Wade. Three via late lottery. Curry, Dirk, Paul Pierce. Two post-lottery first round. Giannis and Tony Parker. And one second round.
Jokic.
It's kind of nuts. Like, yeah, not that we don't know trades are important. It's just merely to point out, like, acting like you're just going to sit back, and maybe this draft could be a different one, right? Certainly the Wimby draft could impact everything for the Spurs. It's just a very interesting, we're so tank and pick and,
yeah.
Largely the league is telling you, dude, you got to be active. You got to mm-hmm, shape and shift your team via trades, because you're not going to be much of a free agency destination.
We know that.
And the draft has.
And that's not going to change with Dunn.
And how's the draft gone for us, by the way, lately?
Yeah.
Scoot doesn't look like the guy that's going to lead you anywhere. Shaden feels like a guy that might get traded this offseason. And, you know, Klingon was good this year. I don't know what his ceiling is yet. I think he's a very good player, but kind of wait and see. One of the more impactful players, their most impactful this year, was Denny. Trade. And who was one of the more other impact players?
Drew Holiday.
Well, Drew Holiday via trade to Monte Kamara. Young player, mm-hmm, we got in a
trade.
Trade.
Yeah.
So it's a very, I got other numbers I wanted to point out on this of pairing with Ben Golliver's comments of not making a trade or not making a big splash trade because of the fear of the new owner syndrome versus you've got some pretty good assets, man. And you took a step this year as a 7 seed. What the wiggle room is there, and should they be aggressive? You can chime in at 503-864-6326. Carry that over next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
All right, welcome back in. It is 8:25 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Chime in at the fan text line, which is 503-864-6326. Good morning on YouTube as well. Talking a little bit about this clip we played from Ben Golliver. I'll play one more clip for you, but also Zach Cram of ESPN writing a pretty interesting article on, do top five picks really get you NBA championships? We like to think that they do, but really the history since 2000 suggests they don't. Now, again, as they highlight, the Spurs are kind of the outlier here. The Spurs have hit on the ones that you need to hit on, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama, and we'll have to wait and see, by the way, on Spurs with Wemby. They haven't won the title. They're maybe eliminated tonight.
I think Cooper Flagg will be a curious test because he was such a overwhelming number one. But obviously the Mavericks are going to have to start over from scratch with him.
Well, also, you know, playing into account here, because I'm not going to get to every blurb, I'd highly advise you guys to read it. It's a pretty interesting article, I think, to read from a Blazer lens. Like, LeBron doesn't count here because, to his point, it's about you drafted him. They stayed on the team and won the title. He's a very unique case of he was the number one pick.
And then he took his talents to South Beach.
Yeah.
Came back. And are they counting that one Cleveland title?
No.
When he came back?
No, because they only got that title because of how did they get LeBron? Free agency.
Yeah.
He was drafted, yes. That's a unique circumstance. It's kind of a weird outlier in its own way.
Yeah.
But the article is like, you drafted the guy who stayed with the team and delivered. Yeah. And unfortunately for them, he didn't stay. He left. He got his titles. He came back to Cleveland. And then he delivered. So you can say that's nitpicking, I guess, to a certain extent. I want to read one more interesting little tidbit here. If you look at the draft years, again, between 22. Between those years, Wade in 2003 and Holmgren in 2022, Tristan Thompson, who averaged 6.7 playoff points for the 2016 Cavs, he's the only player drafted in the top five with a team's own pick who helped that franchise win a title. Now, you could respond, Tatum Brown, Sprague, you idiot. First of all, I didn't write the article. Zach Krem did. His note is they didn't move picks. They stayed where they were. Tristan Thompson's the only one between Wade and Holmgren. And that's a role guy.
Yeah.
A good role guy, but a role guy. So it's just all interesting to think about. I'm not one, and I put this up on Twitter, on our social media page, at Dirt and Sprague, your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. And it reads, are you worried about the Blazers making a big trade in Tom Dundon's first offseason? Yes, new owner syndrome. No, swing big, baby. The neighborhood restaurant group poll question on Twitter every day. And dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
I will say I'm starting to get, as you mentioned that, and starting to say, yeah, Portland really does need to look at the trade market as the best way to try to improve the roster this offseason.
Especially considering they don't have the pick and they're not going to be, I think, in the late lottery unless they have an injury.
This is increasing the urgency for them to hire a head coach because you definitely want a coach to say, this is how I envision what's here. This is where I think we're lacking. This is what I want. These are the types of players and the pieces that I want to have. And you want to have that in place so you can have the coach in the room as you're going through your talent evaluators and saying, hey, we think this might be available. This is what it would cost us. The sooner they get that person in and talking and working on all of that, the more confident I will be that whatever trade or trades they may make is the whole group thing. It's not just Tom Dundon saying, hey, we need to make a big swing. I don't care. I don't know when I'm hiring a coach, but I need to make a splash. That will be concerning if that's how it goes down. They need to hire a coach pretty damn quick.
So I thought the other interesting thing here was Golliver basically saying, I wouldn't want the new owner syndrome with a new owner. Now, again, he is saying this from the media perspective of if I was a fan, and I think he wants the hometown team to do well, but I really don't think he's a pom-pom waiver like
that. No, he's not.
He just loves ball. He has that opinion. He doesn't think the offseason player-wise is actually the most important thing. To your point, he talked about the process the Blazers are currently going through to find the new voice in the locker room.
Well, first of all, I'd say that those are some pretty good names. You know, it's like, you know, all the buzz about, oh, this guy only wants to spend $12 and, you know, he's paying minimum wage with no benefits for his coach. Like, I mean, he's got some good names interviewing in the mix, and I think that's great. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy made a big impact here in L.A. his first year. Their defense went from pretty meh to absolutely incredible. Now, they did take a step back last year defensively, and so, you know, you wonder, was it fool's gold or was it like an instant impact that didn't last? But in terms of a Portlandia character, you could not do better than Jeff Van Gundy. In terms of your guys' show and quotes and all that good stuff, I mean, imagine Stan Van Gundy coming up there for a national game, you know, commentating about his brother. You guys would just be rolling in. It'd be the best material you could ever ask for. So, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I thought Splitter had a really good year. He over-delivered what I expected. I mean, I cannot imagine stepping into somebody's shoes as they're, you know, shuffling off to the courthouse, right, in the middle of a federal indictment. I mean, that is a really challenging spot to keep the locker room together, to have a distinct defensive identity, to play hard, play fast, you know, kind of get this team modernized. If they had anybody who could shoot, you know, I think they would have even looked better in the standings. So I feel like the idea of nickel and diming him is what rubs me wrong about this process. You know, show some respect to the guy who had a nice season, even if you're not going to select him as the head coach. You don't need to turn this into like a bare knuckles negotiation based on what he's been through over the last 6 months. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, clearly this guy wants this coming out of left field. You know, I mean, he has not telegraphed it. He has not kept it nice and smooth like most NBA coaching searches. I mean, you saw Milwaukee, Doc Rivers was gone and bam, you know, Taylor Jenkins was in place. Like, it felt like 48 hours later. That certainly hasn't been the story in Portland. And that makes me a little bit nervous, too. Again, it goes back to how business gets done in the NBA. He's got something to prove there, Tom Dundon does.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is right. I do agree morally with his point on Tiago. I also had a funny counter that I did not say in the moment of like, he also just proved you could do the job for less than $1 million a year, unfortunately. That's the tough thing. Now, but I think, let's not joke, let's be serious here. You overperform of what you were asked to do on a certain salary, you should be rewarded. And here's the thing. because I was told Tiago's out. He's too insulted. This was too insulting to the coaching community for Tiago to want to do this. And now he's suddenly a finalist. I am personally kind of hoping he gets the gig. And I'll tell you why. I'm not mad at Jeff Van Gundy. I'm not mad at anybody they hire. I am largely in agreement with make the roster better. If you do, I think you'll be all right. But Tiago getting the gig would actually make me laugh more of I was told that it was an impossibility he would come back here. It was way too insulting. And there's no way any coach with any self-respect would take this job. And now he's a finalist. So it'd be really funny to watch everybody pretzel their way out of the take of, oh, Tom Dundon screwed himself by hiring a JUCO coach and Tiago will never forgive him for this to, oh, Tiago's the guy. And then I'm going to hear, oh, suddenly he's paying. Oh, okay. All right. So we were freaking out about money things we actually didn't know. And then if Tiago gets the job, suddenly he's paying. I'm kind of rooting for that scenario personally. That being said, I do agree with you. I think they're going to hire a coach within the next week. That's just a prediction.
I hope so.
No way. I don't have any information on that. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I just think that they're on that kind of timeline, and I'm with you. But to me, as important as it is, and I want to highlight why, I still look at the roster as the bigger deal. I do not want to allow this franchise to largely sit on their hands, hire whoever they're going to hire, and then roll out media day and tell you how this is actually, they made moves. They hire a new coach. They have a new vision. Or Tiago can now implement his vision. They basically got a free agent in Dame who didn't play for them last year. And, oh, Rob Williams on the mid-level. Like, if that's what they're going to do, you're going to lose people. They're still going to root for them. They're still going to watch it. They're still going to go to game. You're going to lose people, though, of like really believing you're taking this very seriously. And so that's where I kind of sit. And on your point, Swag, I think where you're right is another local example. This lining of coach and general manager, as Cronin had a unique opportunity to hire his own coach, but weirdly chose to extend Chauncey, which kind of told me, I thought, the power structure of the organization under the Vulcans, he now has an opportunity here to hire a coach. And if Dundon's saying, hire the best guy that you think we can get and try to get the best price, but whatever it takes. If you can align your coach and general manager, I think you're right. And how important that is, look at our local WNBA team. It is year one of a startup team. There's been a lot of stuff behind the scenes that's been a little messy, that's not getting reported on, and I've been curious by that. But largely, the on-court and in-person experience is great. The atmosphere is electric. The crowd's into it. And what's the team doing? They're winning. They won last night. They're 5-3, and that's not the greatest record in the world. This is a brand-new team, and largely the history says those teams suck.
But they're a half game out of first place in the conference.
Right. And everybody's giving them crap because they cut some players, and now we're bringing funny racial jokes into it. But all I would say is, on looking 8 games in, you're seeing what the importance is of a general manager and a head coach who, by the way, knew each other before here, having the same vision and idea of personnel that they want or need for their
And they've
systems.
Implemented a culture, and as, you know, they were so far behind the eight ball with not – that expansion draft was supposed to happen 2 months before
the
it
The CBA
did.
Negotiations and the lockout
this
stuff hurt everything.
This came together and, like, had name tags, hi, my name is – like 3 weeks before their first preseason game.
Yeah.
And the fact that they look like a cohesive group out there, it's not always pretty that, you know, last night's game was not a pretty basketball game.
They still won.
But they won.
They won. They're the best fourth quarter team in the WNBA.
They have a camaraderie. They're building a culture already, and that is a tremendous credit to the coaching staff and the GM of all the other periphery nonsense aside.
Yeah.
If we can go out there and have a plan.
One of the girls they just brought up, Frida Bruner. She had a big night last night. Yeah. She had a big shot in the fourth quarter.
We were
she
all scratching
really
our
well.
Heads. We were all disappointed at the now, the expansion draft, there wasn't a lot for them, a lot of headline names the way it was set up.
It's a very odd way of doing it.
But certainly in the rookie draft,
There
was disappointment that there were some
high-profile.
They drafted
a player we don't know, and she's not going to play over
here
this year. That sucks. Nobody wants to do that, and I was disappointed with it. But Carla Late.
Yeah.
Bridget Carlton.
They, like, look, like they had a plan and they knew what they were doing in some capacity.
Yeah, so that's all. I think that point is a valid one of like cohesiveness, culture building, establishing some of that stuff. Like, I think that is important. I also, like, I just don't sit at the being paralyzed by new owner syndrome. Maybe you do, and your reasons could be very valid, but I want them to be aggressive. I don't want them to sit back and say, it's one thing to point to the Mavs title and say, you know, the Mavs, they kind of slow played it. Yeah, they did, but they also didn't. Why do we act like that was Dirk and just a bunch of zeros?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they were kind of older. They were a veteran team that, you know, and largely in the Dirk era, they had been upset and not gotten where they wanted to. And Dirk deserves the crown of like one of the best title runs of anybody because of the teams they beat. But I also don't want a memory hole and act like Dirk had literally Booby Gibson as his number two guy. Like that team, that's pretty good, smart, cagey vets that were still capable and getting it done. So
no, I think the Knicks could be.
The Knicks are your example here.
Example of in the modern day NBA.
You want to talk about, by the way, new, you have new owner syndrome. How about new front office syndrome? They got in there, Leon Rose and company, instantly.
Yeah.
Signing Brunson. Trade. Bring in. And look where they're at. Got into the finals.
He doesn't have the most progressive, touchy-feely owner to work for.
No. And his owner stepped into politics now for Game 3 at the Garden. You see that?
Yeah. Jackson Dart going to be there.
I think Jackson Dart is going to be in the suite. Can we put him next to, like, Jon Stewart? Is the Steezy sitting courtside? Because I feel like when Obama goes to games, he sits courtside.
Of course.
Is he going to sit courtside? Or is he going to go to a suite?
I don't know.
And weirdly be in the courtside, back shadows. Is he next to Dolan?
I want to put him next to Spike Lee. Oof.
That, what is Spike Lee's outfit going to be that's Knicks related and also obviously a message to the
president?
I mean,
if we're going to have theater, let's have theater.
I mean, we're in New York, for God's sakes. What's Timothée Chalamet going to be? Is he dapping up the Steezy? I don't know, man. Dolan doing that. If I was Leon Rose, I'm like, God, dude.
Tracy Morgan? Can we just put him next to
Hey, yo, Donald. That would be great. I would love to watch that. All right. Make a move. Don't be scared. Let's be good.
But again,
good. This
is context. If it is Dundon behind the scenes when he hires his coach and getting everybody in a room and says, I want to be aggressive, don't hold back.
It doesn't have to be Giannis.
Yeah.
But if it's a good move, I will say I like that move.
Get creative.
Yes.
Let me know what you can do. Agreed. But I trust you guys. And he's the one motivating him. But yeah.
I agree.
Versus him coming in and saying, go get this guy. I don't care what you have to do. Those are two completely different things. Both can be a big splashy move. But if Dundon is encouraging and pushing his management team and his executives and his coaches, hey, be aggressive. Don't be shy. If you've got a harebrained idea that doesn't maybe float on paper or it doesn't sound right in the media, don't worry about that. I don't care what the, you know, all the media is going to bash you for. Come to me, show me why it's going to work, why you believe it's going to work, and if we take a swing, I've got your back.
That's
a different thing.
I'd also counter and say the media has not bashed anything with this front office. For the most part.
Yeah.
It's been weird in this era.
Well, I'm thinking more the national media than the local
media. National media doesn't talk about us much, unless it's about Tom Dundon being cheap. Let's go on. We got NFL OTA audio. I want to get to that. We got the Magic Hat at the top of the hour. Brady Henderson will join us at 9:30. Talk about the Seahawks OTAs as they run it forward, not run it back. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
All right, welcome back in. A little lowdown for you here on a beautiful little Thursday morning. Looks like it's going to be another scorcher out there.
Should be a gorgeous night out at the ballpark.
Yeah, go say hi to Swag as he rolls his R's.
It's Indigenous Cultures Night.
Shout out that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So go celebrate out at Hillsboro if you want to go check out a beautiful ballpark and a good cultural event going on at the ball game. Just one thought, and then we'll go to the, I have NFL OTA audio I want to get to here.
Yes. Several teams are, in action.
Yes, they
so
are.
So to speak.
Magic Hat coming up at the top of the hour. Somebody basically saying the very interesting data, and it is, it's a really good read. Like, you don't have to agree with all of it. I'm not saying like, if you get a chance to have a Wimby, you don't take it. Obviously you want as many good players as you can get. It's just fascinating that, like, largely those top five picks don't pan out.
Somebody they're not the sure thing that everybody thinks that they'll be.
Well, historically, they aren't.
Right.
Like, it's no, they aren't. And that's good perspective to have as we sit in the, is Scoot a bust? Is he ever going to work out here? And it doesn't largely feel like he's going to here. I don't know if he goes somewhere else and, finds his yeah. way. But somebody basically saying, good data, good analysis. How is the new apron salary cap stuff going to make change this? And I think that's the other part is I think it was Tim Bontemps. I want to say Legler, okay. Somebody. I heard basically make the point of like, look how young the NBA playoffs are right now. A lot of 20-year-olds, 20-somethings here. There's not like a whole big mix of mid to late 30-year-old guys here. So this league is obviously a young man's game, and it's only gotten younger. And so Oklahoma City's going to be due a big, fat tax bill. Are they going to pay that? I've been told they're deep with pockets. They got money for years and years. Are they going to pay that bill? We don't have a lot of teams that are dipping into that second apron stuff. So as teams get pressed more and more, we're going to find out, like, okay, man, like, Oklahoma City has no reason to not run it back, I think. But will they feel pressed to because they don't want to pay X amount of dollars in the tax? So I have to kind of wait and see on that one and a lot of moving parts. But it's a good read by Zach Cram. Let's get to NFL OTA audio, shall we?
Let's go.
Before we get to the Magic Hat, let's go to L.A., the NFC West. We're going to talk with Brady Henderson coming up at 9:30.
Yes.
run it forward with the Seahawks. How about the NFC West favorite and the Super Bowl favorite?
Yes.
The LA Rams. They just signed Matt Stafford to a one-year extension. In the next 2 years, to make $100 million.
Looking to win another Super Bowl in their home stadium. They would do it.
That would be very unique for a team to have won two Super Bowls.
They were the first. They're the only ones to win it in their home stadium.
That's what I'm saying. To have two of them in their home stadium would be, I don't know if we'll see that again. Here are the Rams and Matt Stafford on Ty Simpson, who they surprisingly, and I'm still not convinced, took because they wanted to.
I mean, I'm in there with him, in the meeting room, on the practice field, trying to share as much knowledge as I can. Listen, I was a big fan of Ty when he was playing at Alabama. I sent him a text after, he got drafted and said, really enjoyed watching you play, just you were in the wrong jersey. You weren't a dog. So, but I did enjoy watching him play. He's a talented kid. I'm going to do everything I can to get this team ready to play, to win. But at the same time, share some of the knowledge that I've gained throughout my career, because I wouldn't be in the seat that I am right now if I didn't have people that were helping me out along the way too. So I'm happy to do that. But he has been a sponge, man. He's looking to get better. And really, that's everybody on our team, all the young guys that we picked.
How much are we buying or selling at Stafford the mentor during a Super Bowl chasing season?
I think it's what your definition of mentor is. Is he going out of his way to invite him over to the house and do all? No, I don't think so. I think while they're in the building.
In quarterback meetings,
mm-hmm. Anything else. If Simpson has a question, how do you do this or whatever, he is like, this is what I did. This is what it means to be a professional. This is how I structure my day. All of that. I think while they're in the building, he absolutely is sharing his personal experiences and all of those sorts of things. And as long as Simpson's going to ask questions and he's being a sponge and he's soaking it up, I think he'll be there. I don't think Stafford's going out of his way to, quote, take him under his wing and be his prodigy.
How many daughters does Stafford have? Is it three or four?
I don't know.
I think he's a three or four daughter guy.
How old are they?
They're kind of all relatively young. I think it was a bam, 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 and going for a boy thing.
I don't see Simpson coming over and babysitting the kids.
Here's my point. I have two daughters.
Yeah.
And I have a job. My job isn't as time consuming as Matt Stafford's job, who has more kids than me.
Exactly.
I'm not saying he's not going to be nice to the rookie. I just don't really buy in any way. I think even in quarterback meetings, he will be watching film. Rookie might ask a question every once in a while. He's in his own world, dude. He's trying to win a second Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's two Super Bowls for a quarterback, and what that means for your legacy, especially his, man,
well,
that's everything.
I also think Stafford knows if something does happen with his back or something, that
it's not his responsibility for the kid.
No, it's not his responsibility. I also think part of being in the Super Bowl is, look, if I could see, and it'll be interesting to see, especially if the NFL goes to 18 games.
Don't do what you're about to do. They're not load managing Matt Stafford. If he's hurt not playing, he's actually hurt.
I'm saying backs are different than other injuries.
I agree with you, but if he's out, he's not load managing. I think he's legitimately hurt.
Oh, I think so too.
He is a crazy psycho.
No, I know.
And I don't really buy it. It's not his job to have the kid ready. I think he'll be nice to the guy, and I think he's saying the right things. I just don't really buy it. Let's go to New England, the team that lost the Super Bowl in pretty convincing fashion.
Yes.
Probably shouldn't have made the Super Bowl, but they did.
And will open the season at Seattle.
How about that? A rematch from the Super Bowl. Mike Vrabel's been in the news a little bit, and it hasn't been about what Drake May's season's going to be.
No.
It's been with his
own. It's not even about are they getting A.J. Brown or not.
Yeah, or Stephon Diggs or, anything. It's been about Mike Vrabel's messiness off the field. Don't worry, Swag. Work-life balance. It's been pretty good.
Again, I appreciate my family is great. I love Jen. I love the boys. I love, my personal friends. And then, this spring is focused on really the coaching staff, the players, more importantly than the coaching staff. But I just, seeing the coaches in the second year, how smooth the conversations are.
What? That was supposed to be, it was labeled on our audio page as
supposed to be
work-family balance.
That was, yeah.
The oddest thing to me.
He doesn't know how to answer those questions.
Well, here's the problem. He won't just come out and admit it.
Yeah.
He won't say, I made a grave mistake. I had an affair. I apologize profusely. I hope people will leave her alone. I'm trying to repair things with my family. It's why I missed a day of the draft. Move on. Ryan had to answer for his feet videos with his wife. What are we doing here? It's a very weird approach.
I don't know because I don't know why they think it's going to get dropped. No way this storyline is getting dropped.
It's only going to pick up.
The season starts.
Exactly. Let's go to Minnesota. We got a new quarterback in the room, J.J. McCarthy. What do you think about Kyler being signed?
The organization is going to make decisions that are out of my control, and all I'm going to do is focus on what I can control.
Personally, when they made the move with Kyler, was it disappointing? I get that you get what they're doing, JJ, but was there a disappointment considering how you finished up last season?
Then I would be disappointed if the rain fell. You know, that's out of my control, and at the end of the day, I just got to focus on what I can do to be the best quarterback for this football team.
Does it increase motivation, or do you just have that already?
I have a drive that, you know, that's been driving me since fifth grade when I decided to be at this level and perform really well at this level. And that's the same drive that's running through me today.
Yeah, it does bother him. How would it not bother anybody that was in a similar situation? Also, no offense. Does it drive you? I mean, you're in a short-term business anyway. You should just always be driven. I don't know what Kyler going to make you pass better? Read the defense better? Fascinating. Let's play one more. Nick Sirianni on new OC, our beloved Sean Mannion, the new play caller for the Eagles. Here's Nick Sirianni.
Like the command that he has in front of the room and the conviction that he has in front of the room and the knowledge that he has in front of the room. Yeah, we'll see how that looks. We got a long time before we play. We got a lot of practice to go through before we play a game. This is about, you know, figuring out what we do well, what we can do well, and sharpening our tools that, you know, you can run any scheme you want, but if you can't block, if you can't catch, if you can't protect the football, it doesn't really matter. So all those things that aren't looked at as sexy, right? The dirty work stuff. That's what we're working on perfecting right now as we get to know some new terminology and some new things.
Really exciting because there's so much uncertainty with Sirianni and Hurts and all that and where it's sitting. Now we've got our former Oregon State quarterback at the play calling helm, where last year that guy was, people were like going to his house.
Yeah, I know. And what he said there, that was not just coach speak. That actually probably matters to this team, a offensive coordinator that can get front of the room and instill confidence. Like, I know what I'm doing. And that's actually really important for that team at this time.
Really fascinating. We'll have a little bit more NFL OTA stuff tomorrow. Didn't quite squeeze all of it in here on the show sheet today, so we'll get to some of that tomorrow. We'll talk with Brady Henderson coming up in the final hour, along with the Magic Hat. We'll do that top of the hour, Dirt and Sprague, hour 4 on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.